We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Gianna, you might have heard there's a new Star Wars movie coming out.
Oh my God, no way. I can't wait.
Here's the deal. Why so much advertising? Like, whatever they spent on advertising, they're officially wasting money. Everybody knows. If another Star Wars ad wasn't run, it's not like we're going to forget Star Wars is coming.
That's all we needed was Star Wars is coming. Everyone's going
to
go.
I went to the movies Sunday night. The Metreon. The upper floor's got 15 movie theaters on it. Every single coming attractions poster in the entire movie theater was a Star Wars poster.
No way.
The same Star Wars poster 300 times.
Wow.
Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Star Wars is coming. I got it. Done. It's like the U.S. Postal Service. Like, why are you advertising? Where am I going to go to mail this if not with you?
Yeah.
Well, there is UPS. No, I'm just talking about an envelope. If anyone sent a single envelope. Like
a single stamped envelope.
Right. FedEx for that. I'm going to use the, what do you call it? The post office.
That's it. The USPS.
So, there's a new Star Wars movie coming, apparently. Okay. Nice. You didn't have to tell me. I already got my opening night tickets. Not opening night. Tuesday, next week.
So, you actually have your tickets. Like, you bought them in advance for Tuesday.
A month ago.
Wow.
My buddy bought a block of tickets, and we're
okay.
going.
Well, that's cool.
We're in. For Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. showing Tuesday
late night.
Late night. All right. Speaking of late nights, this man, he's had a few. Let's do it. The fabulous Tony Bruno, apparently catching the button vixen off guard.
Don't give it no lines and keep your
I stalled for you, though, Elena. I did. I stalled. No segment ever stalls with Tony Bruno. What's going on, my friend? Always great to have you here. Were you aware of this Star Wars movie coming out?
No, I wasn't aware until I was in the supermarket today and I saw a bag of Star Wars clementines. Because, you know, we have to have oranges. And we don't. There's not enough Star Wars stuff. And I love Star Wars, don't get me wrong. But every time the TV's on, I hear the theme, right?
Yes.
Now, I love theme. I love the Star Wars theme. I love the Bond theme, but when the Bond movie came out, it was on a couple of times with the Heineken commercials, but I agree with you guys. It is overkill for a movie that everybody already knows is coming out and is planning to go see. Why does everybody need to latch their wagon to the Star Wars? Do you even know what the ads are for the most part, when you hear the theme?
No.
Oh, you know it's a movie.
Yeah, and are you joking, or does Star Wars have the official clementine of the Star Wars empire?
No, I'm not kidding. It was a bag of oranges. I don't think it's clementines come in a box.
Yes.
You know, you buy them in the box, and there's always one moldy one in there.
That's true.
How do they always find one moldy clementine to put in the box? It's always in the bottom, and then you buy a box of clementines, and then there's a moldy one, and you're afraid to eat the rest of them because one has mold on it.
It's like Pete Rose. He's the moldy clementine that won't go away, and every single offseason, I got to talk about this freaking guy. Can you believe that this SOB is still giving "Let Me Back In" in press conferences? This is insane.
Well, I'm not a selective morality guy, so I mean, if you break the rules, you break the rules. But I guess he hasn't. What hasn't he done? Because he waited forever to finally say, "I lied and I did it." Now that he's been saying that he's done it, and he still dabbles in gambling, even though he's not part of baseball anymore, except at select card shows. I don't know whether it's punishing the guy is fair enough. I just hope that after Pete Rose dies, they don't do what they do to a lot of guys. You know what? Yeah, you know, let's put Pete in. It's finally time. We let all these steroids
go. No, that's the solution. That's the solution. He serves the lifetime ban. He gets in after he dies. Shut up everybody who thinks he should be in there. And he should. After he serves his lifetime ban, he should serve his lifetime ban as much as he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. I mean, let's be honest. Everybody who has lifetime ban gets allowed back into their sports, right? Oh, no, that's right. They don't. Except for Pete. And I'm not a Pete Rose apologist. It's just how many times have we seen lifetime bans? We saw the death penalty with SMU's football. I believe they came back. So the death penalty, lifetime bans. But in the case of Pete Rose, I think you're right. And I think we just figured it out right here on this segment.
By the way,
Pete Rose will be put into the Hall of Fame after he dies. Therefore, he indeed did serve his lifetime ban.
I got like 15 people just texting me. Would you please ask Tony what's in the box again? What's in the box?
Oh, what's in the box?
Okay, you know what's in the box for Giants fans? Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija.
Everybody's in the box. The Giants have signed every pitcher, every single pitcher. And now I'm trying to figure out who's in the Giants rotation now. Who's the odd man out or odd man out?
Well, here's the deal. Your first four out of the gate, you're going Mad Bum, Cueto, Samardzija, Kane. After that, it's Peavy, Heston, and whatever residue you can scrape out of Tim Lincecum's bowl. Is he still in there? I don't even know. Is he still involved in any way? A free agent. Yeah. Free agent. Free agent. I think.
Wow.
How soon
we forget Timmy. How soon we forget those World Series. I was trying to figure out which ones they are now. And now, of course, it's no longer an odd year. So everybody's back on board thinking 2016, baby, because it's an even year. The Giants are going to win. No matter who they throw out there, they're going to win the World Series.
You are someone who likes to have a good time, Tony. You improve the party you're in. The party kind of loses a little steam when you walk out of the room. You know how to have fun. And apparently so do the Carolina Panthers, who are sitting there sideline posing for picks while the game is still happening. I love it. I mean, I know that it's not exactly the height of class, but I would rather be 13-0 without class than 4-9 with all the class Jed York can buy in an offseason.
Exactly. Would you rather be the Carolina Panthers absolutely making a laughing stock of a team that got out the gate 5-0 with Dan Quinn and Matty Ice and, you know, all the great weapons they have down there offensively, and all of a sudden they become the worst team in football? You can talk about the Niners and all their problems. But, I mean, to me, the Atlanta Falcons have been the biggest choke job team of this season. You know, nobody expected the Niners to be that good. The Raiders, people expected them to be good, and then they had ups and downs, and then Khalil Mack comes out and goes up to Denver and does his thing. But to me, the Atlanta Falcons, and that's why the Carolina Panthers were posing, styling, and profiling. I mean, Atlanta, you did it to yourself. And they even booed Matt Ryan at an Atlanta Hawks game last night. That's how bad things have gotten in Atlanta.
First of all, they were identified as frauds the minute the 49ers beat them. I mean, that was pretty much it right there. And they have not done anything really since that's happened. I don't know what it is. There are certain franchises that cannot change their DNA. You know, a leopard can't change its stripes. A zebra can't change its stripes. A leopard can't change its spots. The Falcons always have that soft underbelly about them, like historically. And everyone thought that Dan Quinn would change it. Hasn't.
I agree. I mean, you know, look at the Michael Vick era. I mean, that was a team that probably could have and should have won a Super Bowl. Unbelievable weaponry. Michael Vick was revolutionary, and they couldn't get it done. And then they bring in Matt Ryan in this era, and it looks like they're good, and then boom, something happens. And now they bring in a new coach after last year's disaster. They get out 5-0. It's just unbelievable. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles are a team. They're up and down. Chip Kelly's going to get fired 3 weeks ago after they lose 3 in a row. Then they beat the Patriots and the Bills, and all of a sudden they're still alive in this unbelievable mess we call the NFC. So it's just a roller coaster ride of emotions, especially in cities where teams have traditionally been bad and haven't won a championship.
Let's talk about cities and the tradition and what would be best for it. You used to live in Los Angeles. You got a little Angelino in you, even though you're decidedly an East Coast cat. Forget about the Raiders. Forget about the Chargers. And forget about the Rams. What is the best NFL solution for Los Angeles? It seems like that's the last question anybody's asking when it should be the first.
Well, it's a great question because 11 years that I was there, you know, we had 15 different, there's a new stadium being built and they're going to break ground next week. So no matter where you are, you know, is it going to be, first it was the Vikings. They were always in, the Chargers have always been mentioned. The Raiders have always been mentioned. Then it became the Minnesota Vikings. And then they finally are getting a stadium. Then the Rams, they're bringing the Rams back because that ownership group obviously likes to play people as suckers. And then they want a new stadium built in St. Louis. And then that's not going to happen, apparently. And so they become. So it's the whole which team is most likely to move, which owner will be wooed. But none of these owners are getting wooed without a stadium. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't woo somebody to come back to the Rose Bowl. The best solution, I don't even think I don't think it's even an expansion team. Because I think if the NFL expands, it's going to be to London, which is what the owner of the 76ers apparently is now somehow thinking about after he unloads this turkey, which I've been saying for the last 2 years. That these guys who own the Sixers are just venture capitalists, and there's nothing wrong with that. But their intention is not to win a championship. Their intention is buying a distressed property and flipping it for close to $1 billion. And now that's the rumor here. So to make a long and endless answer short, I don't know whether LA would buy an expansion team because I don't think people would go out and buy luxury suites to go watch a team go 1-15. I don't think that's going to put people in the seats on a Sunday afternoon on a beautiful day to go ride your bike down Venice Beach.
Well, it's the nature of L.A. that the minute you're riding a three-game losing streak, people are going to turn away and start turning on you. I mean, they'll look, L.A. is so hardcore. If the reviews are after one day that this Star Wars movie sucks, they're going to turn on that.
Yeah, but I don't think the Star Wars movie is going to suck.
I don't either. I think it's going to be good. Yeah, I think J.J. Abrams has got it. That guy's got it.
I can't wait.
I mean, I saw that. Did you see the 60 Minutes interview? I mean,
of course
these
I
guys
did.
Would be dead. If this movie doesn't make $2 billion, they're going to be devastated. Not financially, just psychologically. Oh, my God, I'm J.J. Abrams. If this movie doesn't make $1 billion after all of Disney, and they bought this, and oh, my God. You know, and we're sitting around wondering, we're hoping that this movie makes $1 billion so that J.J. Abrams can go to bed at night as a hero.
By the way, J.J. Abrams, based on how the guy looks, he's going to bed every night a hero. His wife was gorgeous.
Oh, I know. His wife is supermodel beautiful. And she's like a foot taller than him.
You can do that, I guess, if you're the executive producer of Lost and the new Star Wars director. Let's just say the force is strong with that one, Tony.
The force is strong for J.J. I mean, I was watching the interview, they're like, is she an actress? Is she a model? Because she's obviously a very beautiful woman.
Yeah.
I mean, so I didn't even know who she was, and I'm watching the interview. I'm like, enough of J.J. Abrams. Put it back on his wife. Not just because she's pretty and I like gawk at pretty women. I'm just saying she was very interesting and very bright, and she was awesome.
It could be the most attractive woman ever attached to any J.J. J.J. Watt, any J.J. It really is. She's very, very beautiful. Tony, we need to run. We can either ask you to give us a Thursday night prediction or maybe even better serving the listening audience. Can you recommend a stocking stuffer that you know goes across? We got a lot of last-minute Christmas shopping out. And here we got 10 shopping days, Tony, until Christmas is upon us. And do you have a stocking stuffer recommendation?
I actually do. I think this is the greatest, and it's not expensive. It's one of those portable charger things that you take with you.
Ooh.
And I'm giving it away because Miss Robin's sitting next to me. But she has a phone. We got chargers everywhere. You know, one's in the car, one's 15 in the house. But, you know, and they're cheap ones. But the ones that you can buy them at Costco. They come in a two-pack. And you just plug one of those things, it charges up, and you take your tablet with you. And Robin's on her phone all day, so her phone always dies, and I hear that beep, beep, meaning her phone's dying. Get one of those, put it in the stocking. It's a no-lose situation. Nobody's going to take it back. Nobody's going to say, what the hell is this? That's the winner right there. A couple of nights left in Hanukkah. Get one of those babies out for a last-minute Hanukkah gift. Absolute. Or unless you want to go really up, way high-end, and then buy yourself one of those sticky things that everybody's flying in the air now.
A drone?
A drone, yeah. Go buy yourself a drone for $5,000, put a camera on it, and take some panoramic views over the Golden Gate Bridge before they become illegal.
These are one wonderful Christmas holiday ideas. From our one and only Tony Bruno. So will this just charge a cell phone, or, like, can Miss Robin charge her pocket rabbit? I mean, can you charge everything with this?
Yes, it charges everything. The pocket rabbits, though, I don't think they're bad. Their batteries are not included.
Tony,
That's just a simple AAA or AA, depending on the size.
I was about to say, it depends. Well, maybe you'd be using a car battery. You really know how to get down. You're a national treasure, Tony Bruno. A national treasure. We look forward to next Tuesday already. Thank you, my friend.
It's a big Christmas Eve extravaganza.
It will be next Tuesday. Absolutely. Tony Bruno, thank you so much. The one and only Tony Bruno. Pocket chargers, everybody. Pocket chargers.
That's a great gift, though.
It is. Is there anyone you know who has infinity cell phone battery life? Not one person.
No.
Everyone could use a little charger. And it's not even a car charger. It's that pocket charger. It's like, I'm in a bar. There's no outlets. I need a charger. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
We will have other stocking stuffing ideas coming up. I don't know. Maybe in the Tuesday trifecta a little bit later on.
Okay.
Make people happy this Christmas. That's what we do here on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Greg in San Francisco asks, so I know you're not a big Star Trek guy. Why do you think J.J. Abrams will do a good job on the Star Wars movie? You know, it's funny. I'm taking other people's word for it just a little bit. I'm not a Star Trek guy, but Star Trek dorks really liked what he did with Star Trek. I wasn't a Lost guy, but people who liked Lost really liked Lost.
Yeah.
He did Alias, which I watched a season of. Thought that was a good show. Like, everything that is attached to his name has got some respect thrown at it by the real big, hard-to-please crowds.
Right. Like that crowd that loves, like, the Star Wars and the Star Treks, that Comic-Con crowd. He's also a fan. In that 60 Minutes interview, he talks a lot about how much he loved Star Wars, how he was 11 years old, and it really, watching that movie, changed his life and his path of what he wanted to do. So getting this opportunity is one of the biggest things that's ever happened to him.
Right.
So he's embraced it as a fan and as a director.
And by the way, like, if Jerry West is whispering in my ear, like, that guy's the perfect guy for you to draft, I would listen to him.
Right.
The Jerry West of movie directors, Steven Spielberg, is like, this is the only guy in the world that should do it. So I trust that. And then there's the whole, the biggest thing that ruined the three prequels was George Lucas having a CGI-gasm all over the screen.
Right.
Every shot was too busy, layer upon layer of special effects. So many special effects, nothing looked special. It was like two arcade game where he's dedicated to, like, real sets, real props, physical.
Like, they blow stuff up.
Yes, actual physical effects.
Right.
So, like, I'm down with that.
Me too. I love the authenticity of it, which I think you get that in the original Star Wars trilogy, and we'll have that with this.
And it seems like the new character isn't going to be a wildly annoying Jar Jar Binks, but like a pretty cool new droid.
Yeah.
That new droid looks kind of cool.
The little round guy.
Looks like a beach ball.
Are you guys worried about the ending of the film? Because we know that Lost left a lot to be desired, apparently, at the end of that series.
Well, the end of this film will leave more to be desired because there's two films coming after it. So this thing's set up to not have a conclusive ending, but the story continues.
That's how it's done these days. Have you noticed that? Especially when they take things from books or comics. It's like everything's done in three movies, trilogies.
The last thing they want to do is, like, halt their ability to make more money on this topic.
Right.
Well, look at the I'm not a fan of it, but Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Mockingjay, I think the final one is out
didn't
now.
Didn't they take like one book and turn it into two movies?
Yeah. Twilight did it.
Sparkles like diamonds in the sun. Get out of here.
I love that.
Vampires.
Oh. That was a good book.
Damon, do you think that Pete Rose will fake his own death so he can watch himself getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, kind of like on the same island that Tupac and Elvis are on?
I hope not.
That's from Cintron in Castro Valley. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Damon, you should watch Cloverfield. It's also J.J. Abrams' cool alien movie. I did. It's too, I don't like that handheld shaky cam.
Oh, like no Blair Witch Project
right,
for
like
you.
Right, like green handheld shaky cam doesn't work for me. When we come back, we get back to, this says Rose got caught. I'm guessing that's Pete Rose, not Derek Rose. Ricky, Danville, Greg, Dave, these guys who want to stick around, park it right there. We're coming on back talking to you. Less Star Wars, more sports, even though that's probably not even good for us, given all the Star Wars world that we're living in. We will get back to the whole world of the sports. And I want to hammer home one more time what the NBA needs. The NBA needs more, not less. More time to rest, not fewer games. Stick around. It's the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Damon, when are you going to come out with a new set of odds since the Warriors have caught their loss? Well, so Elias sends us an email every day that is paramount to the show prep. And they haven't updated the odds. I bet you they do tomorrow with the game tipping off tomorrow. But since the Warriors have had this break here, they held back on sharing the odds. By the way, speaking of the Warriors and a little break, apparently we are not going to have Harrison Barnes on today, unfortunately. His afternoon got tied up with rehab of the ankle. He's going to miss the next game. He's going to miss the week, I believe.
Right.
So they're still not happy with the progress of that healing, and that's why Harrison will not be joining us today. They said later this week with deep apologies to all. So, all right, he gets a mulligan. We'll give him one mulligan here.
So he'll be here on Thursday.
Or you can hold Danny accountable.
Okay.
All right.
Danny, it's a good thing he got his hymen done last week.
It was, yeah, seriously. Do the Warriors have a Spanish announcer that you can distract me with, Danny?
Es la 95.7. Damos and Bruce Show. Escúchalos. Son los número uno.
Sí, señor.
Freaking love that guy. Let's go to Greg. Greg says he's stuck in traffic. Sorry about that, Greg. Hopefully we're helping.
You are. I love the back and forth between Star Wars and Pete Rose.
Thank you.
I completely agree with Pete Rose, but from the mindset of integrity, I mean, we've given up on the integrity of our education system, health, our government. I mean, for God's sakes, we might elect Donald Trump. But that wasn't really what I was calling about. I was wondering, since it sounds like you're a huge Star Wars fan, have you heard the conspiracy theory that's out on Reddit that Jar Jar Binks was intended to be the Master Sith Lord from the first episode, but Lucas chickened out? If you haven't, it's masterful reading. Somebody like spent way too much time on it. If you don't have the time, there's a video on YouTube that summarizes the whole thing.
Here's the thing. I want to sort of pretend I'm not interested, but I'm kind of a little bit interested. It's funny. We were just talking about Jar Jar Binks during the commercial break, saying that, you know, when I went to see Return of the Jedi in the movie theater as a kid, I walked out of it going like, that was awesome. Everything about that movie was cool. Ewoks, very cool.
Love the Ewoks.
Where adults walking out of that movie were saying, geez, Ewoks kind of ruined Jedi a little bit. That's the way we adults feel about Jar Jar Binks. You go and ask an 8 or 10-year-old when they saw the Phantom Menace, how they feel about Jar Jar Binks. They love him.
That's a good point.
They love him. So I'm not surprised that George Lucas, who knows an awful lot about business and bringing in the kid dollars along with mom and pop dollars, that he didn't want to take the guy that would be lovable to a new generation of kids and turn that guy into the bad guy.
Well, it was actually that all the pushback from the adults that Jar Jar was such a joke, that that was the reason he chickened out, and that actually the voiceover guy for Jar Jar was, he put a press release or a tweet or something like that that said, finally the story is out. But you should, when you got your own time, you should watch it. It's like an 8-minute clip, or you could read the 30-page dissertation this guy put together. It actually gets you scratching your head, and it probably gives a new light if you go back and watch the series.
All right. You know what? From one Star Wars dork to another, I thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Thank
have
you.
A good one.
Thank you very much. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad that didn't happen. So the whole thing about this one, it feels like so the guy who's behind the mask, who's the new Darth Vader.
Right.
Like, that's Luke Skywalker, right?
Well.
I mean, isn't that, I mean, you know, I don't want to.
Well, this is number what in the actual series? Like, this
six.
Is six.
This
so
is six.
Force Awakens is number six.
So this is the end of, you know, this takes place 30 years after Jedi ended. And there's a new Darth Vader.
Okay. Which you...
Isn't the new Darth Vader Luke Skywalker?
I mean, that's a theory.
The father becomes the son, becomes the father, becomes the son, becomes... Like, I don't know. Okay. Let's get back to the whole, you know, sports thing. This is Dave in Fremont. He wants to get it back to Pete Rose. What's going on, Dave?
Okay, well, actually, you pretty much nailed it on Pete Rose about a half hour ago. So, you know, back to Star Wars here. My thing about this is, you know, if you watch Captain Phasma strutting around, come on, that's Bree from Game of Thrones. I mean, you know, she just can't get away from that role. Well, I doubt if I'm going to see it, but what I would love to see in that movie is, you know, put like an Imperial probe droid behind her, you know, and just kind of hovering above her and ring the bell and just go, shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame it. Shame it all. Thank you. By the way, did we say number six? Excuse me.
It's number seven.
Force Shame. Awakens is number seven.
Okay,
shame me.
Shame.
Shame me.
Shame.
Give me the bell. I earned it all. I earned that one.
Because there was those three.
Yes. Ricky in Danville. How are you, Ricky?
Oh, happy commute, Damon. How are you guys doing?
Doing wonderful. Thank you.
I just wanted... The only reason I called is because one Niner fan said he's a diehard Niner fan. He hasn't watched a game in 3 weeks. And I myself, personally, is a diehard Niners fan because only a diehard can stomach watching the football that they're playing. I show up to the games and I watch the games because these guys put their bodies and their minds on the line for us, you know, for our own entertainment.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean, and their own pay. It's their profession. They're not volunteering to do any of that for you. But look... You,
but
as
absolutely.
A fan, the fan that is the best fan stays with a team through thick or thin. But I do believe a fan has the right to renounce clueless ownership. And there are a lot of 49er fans that are becoming more and more comfortable thinking that that's the right move because they do not like supporting what Jed York now represents.
But the ticket's already paid for.
Oh,
you know
he's got
mean?
Your
People
money.
Are talking about it. Yeah, there he got paid. You know what I'm saying? There he's done paid.
Right.
You know,
this is why I
pay for it. I'm not going to boycott any games because I enjoy spending the time with my wife at the games.
Right.
I enjoy going and attending the games.
And if you think about it, asking for a team or a group of fans to boycott something is ridiculous because the money was spent up front, and I don't think people and families should be throwing away an $800 afternoon on a statement of my empty seats. By the way, there are enough people who are at the game who provide empty seats since they're not in there by the third quarter watching. They're back in the brocade appetizer Michael Mina section of the stadium. We got a lot of people who are on me for not just coming up with seven. Damon, Jed York needs a pocket square. That'll class things up just a little bit.
As we learned.
Thank you. Damon, you should play the video game Battlefront. Yeah, I do. I got it. I was playing until like 2 o'clock in the morning. I like to fight in the air. I don't like running around blaster people. To me, it's all about flying an X-wing.
Gotcha. So no Call of Duty or Halo. You're more of
just give me an X-wing simulation. Fighter. Just give me an X-wing fighter and get the hell out of my living room. I'm going to need some private time.
Copy that.
That's the way. Uh huh. I like it.
GameStop gift card would be a good gift for you. if anyone's shopping for Damon.
Great gift. Go ahead. By the way, no, but please, no listeners send any gifts.
No, I know. No,
no listeners send any gifts, unless, of course, they're to Gianna.
No, no.
Yes, Danny. Danny, thank you for letting us know that you're coming on the air with a full-fledged throat clear.
Oh, no, that was, you're ignoring me. I'll take presents, too.
I just wanted
that to be clear.
Well, Danny, I got you 8 different Hanukkah presents. 8 different presents.
And I'll see them when?
Christmas Eve. Right when you should get them.
Right when I need them. All right.
I got you the gimmel. There's a lot of Star Wars theory. Look at it this way. If my pregnant pause lasts a little bit too long, it's only because I'm reading Star Wars theory here on the text line. I seriously have to stop looking at this thing. And I need to come back and tell you that what the NBA needs more of is time. Doesn't need less games. It needs more time. And I will lay out the timeline that it needs to start following that will make the game better for everyone. Unless, of course, you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan that was dying to see a dog-tired Warriors team because he knew that was the only shot you had at history. That's next on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
So you want a quick fix to make the NBA better. I got it. I mean, I can fix the league's not integrity. I'm not saying that this is a league that is without integrity, but I can fix the product. I can make it better. Watch this. No more back-to-backs. Congratulations. I just made the NBA better. David, we don't have time for such a thing. What are you talking about? You got time for such a thing. Fewer replays, fewer stoppages, fewer games. People got a long list of things they think it'll make the basketball that we watch night in, night out better. I think the NBA needs more of things, not less of things. They need more room. The very first thing I would do is grow the court by a foot in every direction. Not the lane, not the three-point line, not the stripe that you shoot from free throws from. We're not changing the dimensions of the scoring. We're changing the dimensions of the court. We're going to grow it 1 foot in every direction to give these bigger players a little bit more room to operate in. If you want to go to the trapezoid triangle or the trapezoid lane, I'll even give you that. It creates a little bit more space underneath. If you want to go in, that's the one thing from the international game that I go, I think the NBA could use that trapezoid triangle instead of the rectangle lane. But enough about what we're going to do to change the game, actually. How about just more rest? That's all you need. And another thing that I think would make the game better, this is something that I think every sport could use. I think every single league should add roster spots. Football gets better the minute you go from a 53-man roster to a 60-man roster. It gets a little safer, too. Baseball, you could go from a 25-man team, bump it to 27. 2 more pitchers. Carry another position guy, another utility guy. Be able to buy a little rest without giving up integrity of who you are that evening because you got a deeper bench. The NBA could definitely, every team could use a couple more players. Every team could use a couple more players, and certainly the profit means that you can afford this. More than anything else, more than more players, more than more room, the NBA needs more time, more rest. The Warriors dropped their 7th game of a 7-game road trip when they were playing tired. They had 2 back-to-backs during this road trip, which took 13 days. With 2 back-to-backs, the Toronto, Brooklyn, Boston, Milwaukee back-to-backs, drop the back-to-backs from the schedule. Just get rid of them. There might be a little history and there might be precedent, like other teams have gone through this. You need to go through it. True. Yeah, all right. Okay. but it dilutes the product. Other teams used to fly coach. Wilt Chamberlain used to eat his knees in coach. No one's suggesting we go back to that. No one's suggesting we go back to propeller planes instead of jets to ferry these teams from one city to the next. They never had replay. How about giving them more? Screw your back-to-back. I don't need a back-to-back. It dilutes the product. It encourages Greg Popovich, who, by the way, has the Spurs officially just as scary as the Warriors are right now. And I'll give you some numbers on them. But it's got Greg Popovich resting stars. You bought a ticket to watch the San Antonio Spurs tonight, and congratulations. No Tim Duncan, no Kawhi Leonard, no Tony Parker. But you don't get a discount from the opening night. The Warriors took the court against New Orleans on October 27th. To the final game that they have hosting Memphis on April 13th, the Warriors will be playing 82 games in 170 days. You got time. You got time to drop all the back-to-back. 82 games in 170 days. You know what day of the week the Warriors, it's not their fault. Obviously, this is a schedule maker. Do you know how many times the Warriors play on Sunday? Sunday, there are 25 Sundays in the Warriors' schedule. They only play on 7 of them. Why? Why do you have 18 days where you're definitely not playing today? The Warriors have one Sunday game in 3 of the 6 months they play, no Sunday games in February, except for an all-star game. In April, they've got 2. In March, they've got 2. Spread the damn games out. And if you don't believe that the NBA is cool with spreading the games out, here you go. The Warriors now have 5 games, all at home. That's what's coming up next on the schedule. Phoenix tomorrow, Milwaukee Friday, Utah next Wednesday, Cleveland on Christmas. Then after that, they got the Kings the following Monday. That's 5 games, all at home, over 17 days. Why do you have so much time off? Like 5 games over 17 days? Basketball schedules seem to move in between, you got way too many games in way too short amount of time and way too few games in way too long amount of time. Just balance it out a little bit better. I don't understand what the problem is. This is Matt calling from the South City. What's going on, Matt? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Damon. Thanks for having me on. Quick Star Wars reference, Jed York is the Sith Lord and Trent Baalke is his apprentice.
I don't even know if I can give Jed that like type of credit. Like, I feel that Jed, I don't even know who he is in Star Wars, but I don't know if I'm going to say like he's the leader of the Galactic Empire. That's still for Jerry Jones. Like, Jerry Jones is the Emperor. I don't know who Jed is. He's not as cool. You know, he's not Boba Fett. He's not Jeng. He's not. There's nothing cool about it anymore. Who in Star Wars was handed everything they were given and doesn't know exactly? Basically, he's more like Princess Leia, if you think about it. He's born into it. He's born into it. Lucky to be there. If he didn't have the right hair, probably wouldn't be retained.
But she's trying to save her planet. He is not trying to save
what
the
happened
Niners.
To her planet. What happened to Alderaan?
But she still had...
What happened to Alderaan?
Yes, blown up.
I heard a million screaming souls through the Force. That's Jed. He blew up the Niners the way... Well, he couldn't stop the Niners from being blown up. Couldn't protect the team any more than Leia could protect Alderaan.
But she cares.
The new Darth Vader is not Luke.
We don't want spoilers! I don't want spoilers! Shut up! Thank you very much for the call. See, when I say my theory, it's without any knowledge. I don't know. You could have read the books. You could have Dorcas Malorcas'd out on this all afternoon. I don't care about the books. The books mean nothing to the Star Wars conversation. Just give me the movies. It's all I care about.
I didn't read the books.
No. Well, he might have. I don't want to hear who it might be is. Do we have time for one more? Let's go to one more real quick. Who do we got here? We got Nick calling from Pleasant Hill. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing good, Damon. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have one quick question. I know you've been talking about Pete Rose a lot, but I just wanted to get your thoughts really on the whole him betting on the playoff baseball and how I feel it's not really like how the Black Sox did it, or I'm sorry, the White Sox did it in 1918 with the World Series, throwing it. He was betting to win, not to lose.
Right. But if he bet different dollar amounts, then he believed the team would win more this day than that day. And what kind of message was he sending to the gambling community on days when he laid off the Reds? Hey, Pete's not even betting the Reds tonight. Do you think we should? So, sorry.
Good point. Like I said, I just wanted to get your opinion on it.
Yeah, no, my opinion is he deserves his lifetime ban. He did as much as a player can to rape the integrity of the game. And for those of you who already say, well, wait a minute, what about players taking steroids? Like a player putting steroids in his body to change his own chemistry affects the outcome of a game. There's a bigger difference between the tellers of the bank robbing it and the manager of the bank robbing it. Either way, it's not good, but it's even worse if you were the guy who was in charge of keeping order around here. That's the difference. There's a bit. What offends you more? The tellers rob the bank or the manager of the bank rob the bank? To me, they're not the same. The manager, the guy you entrusted, is the one who robbed it. 888-957-9570 is the number. And when we come on back, I've sort of been saving this little nugget for the 5 o'clock hour. It's a distinctly interesting conversation to have here in the city of San Francisco. Rajon Rondo was suspended over a word. Is it just that simple? Is there more to it? Did he deserve it? Did he ask for it? Is the NBA on the right path or on a little bit of a slippery slope of political correctness now managing the league? We will talk about Rajon Rondo and what he said to an NBA official who today announced that he was indeed an out-of-the-closet gay man. That's coming up next here on The Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.